Okie dokie. Hey, Vank.
Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I'm kind of tired. I was out last night pretty late.
Yeah, me too. It's a brat season in Wisconsin right now, so.
Isn't it always brat season in Wisconsin?
No. It's finally warm enough, and the snow melted up north, so.
That is sad. Is a brat something that everyone's going to know what it is?
It's a bratwurst, not a brat. And it's a German sausage.
Okay, they're pretty popular in Wisconsin. Yes. And hey, you can actually buy them here in my town.
No,
Johnsonville brand.
Oh yeah, that's the one that sponsors Bratfest coming up. Oh, actually, when this episode will be released? Well, maybe it depends. I'm not sure if we're going to release this before or after the. If we do something for the Xbox reveal, we'll find out, I suppose. But
yeah,
beer is also a big Wisconsin / German thing, so they kind of go together. So you can imagine what Saturday night was like.
Sausagey.
Yes, big old sausage fest. No, I was actually curious if you have been on the Miiverse at all, since you know you can't have an account, but you can at least browse it once in a while.
I've gone on through my iPhone. I guess there's no app yet, but
that's like a mobile website.
And since I can't actually log in, I can only see like they've got these selections like Best of Miiverse or something.
Ah,
so I can't really delve into it too much until I actually get an account.
Well, we have a Famicom Dojo account linked to my console, unfortunately. So I should just let you have that username.
I suppose, but then when I make defamatory posts,
Why would you even do that?
EA. Oh, sorry. Oh, that's for later. That's for later.
That's okay. You can only make replies to the web app anyway.
I suppose. But what I do see is there's just some amazing art on there.
Yeah. Right.
I am shocked at how well. I mean, that is not the wonderful way of, you know, sharing art. I mean, it's a wonderful way too, but like it's, you know, the tablet controller and that pen, it's not like, you know, it's not what an artist would normally choose as their first means of making something, but people have done amazing things with it.
If you're really determined, you can essentially create pixel art on there too. Like if you really fine-tunely, like, you know, write and erase on the individual pixels, and that's just crazy.
Can you zoom in?
I don't think so. No, you just have to be really, really careful.
I mean, that's what gets me the most is like there's no real tools going on there, so it's all freehand. That boggles my mind.
I think one of the best pictures I've seen recently was someone who like drew a baby and with a Metroid head crawling.
Metroid. But can Metroid crawl? How do I make Metroid crawl?
We may have to unpack that one a bit. So for those who don't know, Super Metroid came out on the Wii Virtual Console. The Wii U Virtual Console, I should say, in which, you know, you can do stuff like Miiverse screen captures, and Kotaku did this thing about it. They pulled together a whole bunch of pictures of people being stuck in some of the same places. And I don't know, to old school gamers like you and me, it's just funny. So you know what I did? I hadn't played the game in a while, so I wanted to like get to that spot because I was pretty sure I knew what was going on, but I wanted to refamiliarize myself. And you know what? I was actually just having fun playing the game.
Yeah.
I forgot how strongly it starts out. You go to the space station where the Metroid baby has been brought for scientists to study it, and you don't do much there, but you run into Ridley, and then you have to escape. So, and then you end up on Zebes after that. But it's just like, that game starts off really, really strong, and I totally forgot about that.
Did you ever read the comics?
Yes, the Nintendo Power ones?
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
the thing is, like, I can't separate the two now because I read the comics before I ever played Super Metroid, so, like, I felt, you know, kind of part of that story before I even started, and I think that was really the way to go. Because, I mean, the story, I mean, the actual, you know, there's not really many cutscenes in the game. So a lot of it, right. A lot of it. I mean, with the comic, they really kind of expanded on it, into kind of the emotional side of it.
Yeah, there's some narration at the beginning, and some really nice artwork actually of you know, Samus describing what the scientists were doing once she left the baby with them. Oh, actually, there were some like updated graphics of like the fight with Mother Brain, and then finding the Metroid Metroid 2, which is only for Game Boy, and I don't know if anyone else has played besides like a handful of people.
It is the only game. It is the only Game Boy game I brought with me from America.
Oh, nice! That says a lot. So yeah, I was playing through this, and I got to the part where everyone's taking that screenshot. Like, why can't Metroid crawl? Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So you know, I knew you had to get certain power ups. Like, you have to go like left rather than right to get the Morph Ball.
Yep.
But it's that particular spot that they're taking a screen capture of, I realized they can't even get into without the Morph Ball. So the next thing you need is the bomb to get out. And and that's why they're stuck. And what infuriates me now that I know exactly what's going on is all they have to do is go down into the only door that's available and they get the power up. This little boss fight, like a mini boss fight too, after that. But it's like how can you be stuck at that point? You haven't even tried going like half the directions available to you in that particular up and down chasm. It's just
as much as we kind of make fun, though, I'm jealous of those gamers because they're getting to play this game for the first time.
True. And to be fair, I mean, we could pretend like we know everything. We never had problems with these games when we were kids.
I felt the same thing when I played the original Metroid. I'm I remember I rented it because it was a battery backup game here.
Yes.
No, wait. Was it a battery backup?
Super Metroid?
Or was it a password? No. The original Metroid.
No, the original was password, famously for the Justin Bailey code.
Yeah. But I remember, like, I was playing it, that game, and I thought, because I remembered my friends playing it. And they were doing all these, you know, things with the Morph Ball and the bombs. And I started, and I'm like, all I can do is shoot. Am I doing something wrong?
No, I think the only difference really is that we didn't have a public forum on which to fail. You know, we had our friends in the playgrounds talk, and we had 900 numbers for the helplines and, you know, Nintendo Power and magazines like that. There wasn't any internet. There was no game facts. And there was certainly no Miiverse where we could take a picture. And
there was the internet, just... Nobody
in the knew. In the 80s?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah. There were BBSs
Usenet.
And stuff. Yeah.
Usenet.
I don't think I even had a modem until the early 90s.
Let's see. When did I start? I was in junior high school, so.
Yeah, early
91, 90s. 91, 92, Something like that.
So Super Metroid, I guess, came out in like 92 or 93. 92?
Yeah, 92, 93. I think 92.
I think it's been exactly 20 years since that game came out. So,
well, anyway, so I don't know. The Virtual Console, though, what a ripoff. I mean,
well, I got that game for 30 cents.
I know you got it for. Yeah. I know you got it for 30 cents. Yeah.
But you know, one thing we're probably never going to see on the eShop are any Star Wars games or DLC.
Yeah.
Should we unpack that statement too? Probably. Well, okay. So
not sure. Okay. Let's do that. But let's just stick with this just one more minute. Can you gift a game?
No. You I don't think so. You could on the Wii Shop, but I don't know. I haven't tried honestly. Like it's right there up front and center. Wii.
I don't have a Wii U yet, but. I'm going to miss this 30 yen. I mean, this 30 cent. Game.
Yeah.
Can
someone
gift it to me?
To
like an email? Like you
I think you have
iTunes,
to have an account for the gifting to work. And like you, I think the way the gifting works in the Wii was the friend codes and you don't.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, never mind then.
you know, $8. Is it $8 or is it like $6? It's still not too much to pay, I don't think.
I actually have the cartridge here. I mean, I don't.
I just posted a picture on our Facebook page of like a box of Super Nintendo game boxes, and Super Metroid should be one of them, I think.
Did you see that picture I put up on our Facebook with the back cover of the instruction manual of the original Metroid game?
Oh yeah, right. Like I didn't have that.
Like that in the original art, I had no idea.
Right. Yeah. If you had seen that, because like from the front it could be almost anything, but it was still really good artwork. But then from the back, that is a woman's badonkadonk.
Badonkadonk means buttocks.
Yes.
I am so far out of. I mean, I guess I assumed I'd heard the word in a couple of shows that I American shows that
Man,
I watched.
You only left the States in 2004.
Was it a thing in 2004?
I hope so.
I will tell you that I'm not very cool. Even if it was a thing, it might not have been something I was exposed to.
Oh my!
All Your Base is still popular, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys aren't on our Facebook right now, I think most of the people who listen to the podcast are, but if not, check it out. I'm posting a game a day now. So
I'm wondering at this point if we have more Facebook followers than we do podcast listeners. So maybe we should be going on the Facebook page and pimping the podcast more.
Yeah, I'm excited to be getting my Wii U though. And I'm already kind of picking and choosing some games. I want to get Sonic Racing Transformed.
Uh-huh.
After watching the Wreck-It Ralph like 30 times.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, and you can get it as an eShop download, but the game itself is only like $40 if you get the disc copy. So,
like $26 on Amazon right now. So.
Right, yeah, there you go.
So I'm just gonna pick that up. And I don't know, maybe I should get a sports game or something, maybe the new Madden.
There was that Nintendo... Man... There was that Nintendo Direct recently where they announced they were going to bring a Super Luigi U as a standalone title in August in the States. Right before you leave.
No, it's like...
Oh.
But maybe I can have someone send it up to me.
Yeah, maybe. Someone could do that for you.
I don't know. I don't want to buy games off the Nintendo eShop. I just don't trust it yet.
That's probably fair. I think though the most telling thing that the reason I want to get it is because I don't want to pay $60 for the main game, that being New Super Mario Bros. U, and then pay $20 on top of that to play the Luigi expansion. I'd rather just pay $30 for Luigi and be done with it. And that might be a lot of Nintendo's problem.
Well, I suppose, but I mean, they're slightly different game experiences. I'd buy them both. It's a good option for people who live out in the sticks who don't have really fast internet,
right?
Or kids who, you know, get birthday money and, you know, want to go to a store and spend it rather than, you know, mom, dad, if I give you this money, can I use your credit card? You know, being able to loan it to a friend, I think that's an experience I hope doesn't really go away, but it's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that in recent episodes about the whole digital thing, getting rid of that. Actually, it was part of our first episode, if I remember correctly.
But anyway. Yeah.
We should probably address the elephant in the room finally. It's almost 20 minutes into the show here.
All right. It just makes me so sad. Okay. There's this company. I don't know if you've heard of them. Their name is Electronic Arts, which is an interesting name because it kind of implies they do artistic things.
Which is true sometimes, right?
Yeah. And Electronic Arts is, I don't know, would you say they're probably the biggest third-party publisher?
It's between them and Activision. I know that after the Blizzard merger, Activision became the biggest, but I think they've been sort of jockeying for position ever since.
But like, I mean, this is in the West, of course.
Right. Probably
it's third parties in worldwide, or maybe Capcom, or well, I don't know.
I doubt that. What awesome Capcom games have come out for the Xbox 360 or the PS3?
I don't know about awesome.
Or
but...
the Wii. the last Capcom game that got released was made people upset.
Monster Hunter.
Oh, besides Monster Hunter, I was referring to Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
That didn't do so well, did it?
Not only that, but there was the whole DLC thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so EA, as you've heard, is dropping Nintendo Wii U as a platform.
I think it's less dropping, as in they hardly ever considered it. So this is a really long timeline of stuff. I think the most recent wound was we found out very recently that Disney, after shutting down LucasArts, is giving EA exclusive license to Star Wars games. And then we find out that EA has no active development for the Wii U whatsoever right now.
Yep. And then one of the lead people from EA Sports went on and basically just said, the Wii U is crap. Nintendo should go third party. He tweeted all these things and created a bit of an uproar, but like, I don't know, I kind of, Steve, like, everyone always, you know, EA was like, oh, we support Nintendo and what they're doing, and maybe in the future we'll have, no, but, it, I mean, it kind of let you into the mind of what's really going on there, that they have completely abandoned the platform. Not that they had really been supporting it in the first place, and you owe me a steak.
For what? Oh, the DLC. Yeah, you're right. We're not going to see Mass Effect 3 DLC on the Wii U as a result of this.
I mean, EA doesn't care at all about the Nintendo platform, and this Mass Effect, releasing Mass Effect 3 while the trilogy goes to the other, is just salt in the wound, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, at that point, it was kind of justified their position, I felt, because they hadn't released this blockbuster title on Nintendo system before. But then the whole Frostbite engine thing started coming up, and that was a little weird. They're like, oh, it can't handle the engine. And then you might believe that. It might give them the benefit of the doubt there, but then they announced that they are working on the Frostbite Go version for mobile devices, which, I could play on the Wii U.
Well,
made it really obvious leading up to this announcement that they definitely have, you know, it's more than just a technical thing, if it even ever was. It's definitely something else.
And I mean, there's rumor that originally the online system that they were going to use for the Wii U was Origin, which is, you know, EA's proprietary, like, you know, play server, you know. And that when Nintendo decided not to go with it, it soured the relation and really kind of turned EA against Nintendo. I don't know who that is.
Just a rumor. Yeah, there's no evidence of that.
But a lot of people always quote that. But I think, I don't know.
Well, I mean, assuming it was true. I can't imagine them having tried anything like that with Sony or Microsoft. Like, if that really is the reason, that's so petty, because the only reason that they would have gone to Nintendo in the first place and then been so angry and spurned afterwards is because they would have seen Nintendo as an easy market. It's like, you need us this badly, and if you don't do what we want, we're going to shun your console. Which, you know, I doubt Nintendo needs EA more than EA needs Nintendo, clearly, if the last few generations have been any indication. So this is not, it might make people angry, but it's not a dumb move on EA's part. It's not going to hurt them in the long run.
And the thing is, there's no risk to them, because I mean, a lot of people who have been commenting on various forums, they go EA is going to be sorry when the Wii U finally starts taking off, that they're going to be left out in the cold. But that's not true at all, because if Wii U starts taking off, EA will go, okay, we'll make a game for it now, and Nintendo will welcome them back with open arms.
Oh yeah, that's not even a problem.
Because as petty as our belief of the, you know, Origin thing might be, if that's why EA dropped Nintendo, if like Wada said, no, you didn't give us support last year, you cannot give us money. You know,
right? Well, you know, in business, you can't really hold grudges and hope to stay in business, which is why I don't think that this has anything to do with a grudge.
I don't think so either. But it is really, really bad for the Wii U. And, you know, I still hold that one of the main reasons why the Dreamcast failed was EU's lack of support. Okay, the main reason that the Dreamcast failed was because Sega was already in the hole from the Saturn. But...
Right.
But, I mean, that's one of I think in my mind, that was the final nail in the coffin.
Right. Nintendo's not in that position. I mean, things are bad for the Wii U, and they're arguably... So, I think they released some statistic about how, like, the April sales after the launch, and, like, the Wii U is at the bottom of the list in number of units pushed. It's not good. But Nintendo, unlike Sega, is sitting on a mountain of cash. They're still one of Japan's most valuable companies, if not the most valuable right now. They've ferreted away, not as much money as Apple, but they have very similar business models and they have very similar profit margins as a result.
They can survive a bad console. Maybe not two, but they can survive one bad console.
And it remains to be seen if this is going to be one of them. But we're still waiting. You know, I feel like it's two things going on. One thing being that we haven't seen what the next gen consoles, what the PS4 and what the next Xbox, which depending on when we release this episode, will have been announced already. Yeah, I don't know. Either way, we'll know what the next Xbox is called by the time this episode comes out. But you know, we don't know how those systems are going to fare this year. We just don't, and it could be Nintendo's having a unique problem, or it's having a very Nintendo problem right now.
It's possible the other consoles will face an uphill battle because there's so much more competition now. And I know everyone's going to jump out there that there is competition from things like smartphones and iPads and things like that.
No, it's true.
I know it's different, but
it's true because like when the Wii came out, there wasn't an iPad. There wasn't even an iPhone yet.
The thing is, I know that those are totally different devices, but the real thing is, people only have so much time.
And money. But mostly time, yeah.
Someone's a hardcore gamer, they're not going to go, this iPad will do it for me, you know. But at the same time, if they're using that for web browsing and playing the occasional game on it, it's less time that they're going to spend with their hardcore system. It's just the fact of the matter. You know, you don't need to buy as many games if you've got, you know, a lot of ways to use your time.
Oh, true, definitely.
But
well, I feel like the 3DS, I don't have one yet, mind you, but I feel like the 3DS has done a lot to try and bridge that gap between, you know, what a handheld gaming system was when Nintendo was the king of it and still is technically, I guess. Despite the recent uptick in sales in the Vita. What's that?
Done.
Oh yeah, it's all over now.
It's gone back to. I mean, it's not as low as it used to be, but it's
still more than the Wii U, though. Maybe.
Last time basically right now the Vita is selling about 30% more than it used to.
Right.
But the company Sony did a price cut, so really they're making about the same amount of actual cash in.
Right.
They're actually making less profit off the Vita than they were before the price cut.
Right, and they can't really bring it back up now, so they're... Yeah, so, I mean, but I just feel like between making it more of an internet-ready device and the eShop there, which I'm sure once they get a 3DS I will be frequenting, just think that they're doing the best they can to keep a handheld console alive in a market with things like iOS and Android being out there.
The 3DS is doing surprisingly well considering what it's up against. But at the same time, it's not doing as well as the DS. But here's what I see as a big problem.
Okay.
Now, I know you're really into Mass Effect.
Sure.
I know you. And you'd probably would have loved if the new Mass Effect 4 or whatever would have been on the Wii U with the touch screen and all that stuff, you know?
Maybe.
But me? I can't even recall the last time I bought any game made by EA.
Yeah, I think the only reason I really buy EA games is because BioWare now publishes through them.
But I'm really trying to think of the last EA game I've bought. I can't.
Would you buy a Star Wars game that came out from EA? I mean, what's the last Star Wars game you bought?
Last Star Wars game I bought. Lego Star Wars?
I think. That counts. That's pretty recent. I was thinking something older, like Shadows of the Empire or something.
But I bought it for my iPhone.
Okay.
Star Wars I bought? X-Wing.
Okay.
That was PC, but yeah, X-Wing. LucasArts.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, maybe there was nothing there. Maybe EA wasn't interested. I don't know why Disney didn't just sell LucasArts to EA. Unless, there wasn't any interest.
Well, I think this way they can kind of continue making that kind of lucrative deal every couple of years. Like, you want to keep Star Wars? This is how much money we want.
Right.
Like, true. What the NFL is doing with EA.
Right.
Okay. Here's where we get to the biggest problem I see with this whole thing.
Okay.
As a gamer, I'm not affected so much, but there's no Madden on the Wii U. So there's no football.
Right.
Period.
Right.
EA has exclusive license to the NFL teams.
Right.
And without that license, the only choice another company would have to make a football game is to have invent made-up players, or I don't know, Nintendo could make Mario football or something.
Doubtful.
But it lost the ability to do a realistic, real player football.
Right, right.
You know, EA's really kind of taken a monopoly on baseball as well.
Well, the thing that I was hearing was it the FIFA license?
Yes.
I think the FIFA license required them to release on all major consoles. So how are they going to get around that with the Wii U?
They'll say that the Wii U isn't a major console.
How can they get away with that? That's one of the only other ones out there. I mean, is it like some kind of threshold FIFA's going to use? Be like, oh, well, it's not pushing enough units, so it's going to die anyway. So that's okay. Or,
but what I see is I see this is really, really, really bad, because I'm not really a sports gamer, but a lot of people are, and to tell you the truth, I tried a football game on the Wii U, because you get the second screen, the ability to choose plays, you know, being able to like keep it secretive what you're gonna do
in Definitely. That would have been a huge boon. I mean, that was what people were mentioning before the system was even out, or before it was even called the Wii U necessarily, is that, yeah.
Much for actual, like, not, I mean, I don't care if it's graphically a little behind the other ones, but, like, there was that the few things that I saw the gamepad being a useful thing for.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, like what's so much better about the other consoles? Can you, like, see Aaron Rodgers' nipples through his jersey or something? Like, come on, what...
Ooh.
Just the level of detail is just so... Is this real life?
The crowds, the cheese hats are so realistic. You can tell the age of the cheddar.
Oh, God. Just for those who are aware, the cheese hats aren't actually made of cheese.
Yeah. Whenever I show Japanese people those things, they're like, They are difficult to wear in the summer, and I'm like, no, they're not real cheese.
It's okay. The Japanese don't really eat cheese, so I can forgive them for being confused.
Sega had their own thing, though, back in the day. Sega had their own sports line, Sega Sports, which were arguably maybe even better than the others. Their football series, you know, NFL 2K and 2K1. A lot considered better than Madden equivalents. But now there's no option to do that.
Right, right.
But do you remember when Nintendo, I think it was GameCube days, they were developing a game called Pennant Chase?
No, I don't remember.
Nintendo was going to develop their own baseball franchise, which would be the first time they'd done a baseball game since Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball.
Okay.
On the Famicom. Super Nintendo, sorry. But just got it got canceled. Just like, it was going to come out. It had box art. I'm sure we could find the box art and post it to this podcast. And it was ready to go. And then it was really late in the GameCube days, though, so it got canceled. And a lot of people thought it would be just brought over to the Wii. But it just disappeared.
Huh.
Yeah, it was called Pennant Chase Baseball. But so, I mean, theoretically, if Nintendo wanted to put the resources into it, they could have their own sports series. And they could definitely make Mario Football and reaffirm the kitty image.
The last time I ever played any sports games with any interest were all those crazy baseball games for the NES, like Bad News Baseball or Cyber Wars, where you like played robots that played baseball and you would fight each other if there was ever like a contested out or something.
Like Mutant League Football. That was fun.
Right. It's like I didn't, you know, I think I had like NFL Quarterback Club 96 the year, like right before the Packers won the Super Bowl or something. Or was it the year after? I don't remember. But they, yeah, it's like, I don't really care for sports games. This isn't a huge loss for me. I'm just thinking, I don't know. I have a pet theory about this. We'll wait until the Xbox is revealed before I say anything more about it, though.
Is that the theory? You know, if that's true, oh man, that's going to shake the industry to its core.
Well, I don't know. What do you think I'm saying?
Are you talking about an exclusivity deal?
No.
No?
No. I'm talking about the platforms themselves.
Well, you're talking about the always on stuff.
More the architecture.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then let's see what becomes of that before we.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another.
I'll put a pin in that, and then we can come back to it.
Are you excited for the announcement of the new Xbox?
No.
I'm just not at all. I don't know why. Because I was excited. I was not I'm not a real Xbox fan, but I am.
I love my 360.
I was excited about the announcement of the Xbox 360. I remember I stayed up to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, this time, I just feel like it's going to be more of the same. Like, prettier.
Right. Well, there's so much bad press leading into it, too.
Just, I don't know. I think that if Nintendo ever died as a company, I think I'd probably stop playing video games. Well, new video games.
Wow, that's huge. I don't think that's true of me.
But the thing is, maybe if Nintendo did die, other companies would step in and make games like how Nintendo makes games.
Right.
Like, Sony's trying. Remember Little Big Planet?
Yeah.
You know, they're really trying, and it didn't do as well for them as they'd hoped it would.
That's too bad. They made a couple of those, right?
They made a couple, and I liked the concept of Little Big Planet, but I didn't like the play mechanics so much.
Well, it's also so like crazy customizable. Like you can, you know, make a game inside that game, which is awesome.
For a mod or something. But the thing is, what's weird is like the first thing that anybody makes in any game that you can make your own game is that they make the first level of Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's a reason for that, definitely.
And Little Big Planet was great, but like the levels that were that came with the game, the actual were not super great. A lot of the user content that you could get off the internet was a lot better. But I don't really want to make my own levels. I want to play a well-designed level that someone else has made.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you can do that. Like, that's definitely a feature of the game.
A lot of people have been talking about how they hope that Mario series goes the way of Little Big Planet, allowing you to make your own levels and stuff like that. But I don't know. I wouldn't be into that. And I don't think Nintendo would be into that.
Yeah, well... So, does Nintendo need EA? I mean, everyone's like spelling doom and gloom, like, oh, it's just like the Dreamcast when they got shunned by EA, and so obviously the same thing is going to happen. Like, people have been saying Nintendo should go third party forever, and we have an entire episode on the podcast about it, if someone wants to go back and hear reasons why we think that's completely nonsense. But I don't, you know, Nintendo can survive without EA, I think. That's where I'm putting my stake in the ground.
Nintendo can survive without EA, yes, but it's not so much troubling that EA pulled out. It's just that it's just another bit of doom and gloom for the Wii U.
Right.
Because it's not the disease, but it's definitely a symptom.
I think that's true too, but I want to reserve judgment for what I think the disease is. I don't think it's necessarily Nintendo in particular that's behind it.
Nintendo has massively screwed up with third parties this generation.
Okay, well, so is the EA thing Nintendo's fault or is it EA's fault?
I think it's Nintendo's fault.
Why would you say that? Like, why would you just assume that it's just Nintendo screwed up something?
Because if they would have, when they launched a new console, they pretty much they went the Nintendo way, innovation in the design of the console and things like that. But I mean, third parties have been telling Nintendo since the Wii, just be parity power wise as the other consoles, and we'll give you games.
Okay.
But instead, Nintendo's really just doing its own thing. Sometimes I think they almost purposely try to make it hard for third parties to support them so that they can sell their first-party games.
Plausible.
But like they've made the system that perhaps right now it's good that it can port our current generation 360 and PlayStation 3 titles to it. But what in the future, basically the only titles that are going to be on it are Nintendo made titles, exclusive pairings with second parties, or inferior ports.
All right, so I guess we don't have a choice. I should go into a bit of what I think is happening. EA in particular is really guilty of this, but you know, the entire publisher developer model for how the industry works seems like it's more and more self cannibalizing now. You have these successful game launches making just millions of dollars for big companies, and then you find out that their entire studio has been laid off.
Yep.
Or dissolved or whatever. And it's like, how is that possible when this game is such a success?
All it takes is one bad game.
But
or even a good game that doesn't do as good as you needed it to.
Right. Right. So you would think that they'd spread their risk pool around a little bit rather than start culling so soon, but it has a lot to do with just this rapid expansion in like the scope and development costs and just like sheer talent and manpower needed to make games to compete.
Yeah.
It's an EA, you know, being one of the two gigantic publishers out there, needs to play that game as cutthroat as possible. And so when you have multiple platforms that don't have the same technology base and one of those platforms is doing way, way worse than the other ones, of course you don't support it.
Yeah.
So I think you're onto something there, but I think there's something else going on that you hinted at, which is that the third parties say, you make this kind of console, we'll make your games. Don't you think that's going to lead to some kind of platform agnostic convergence where it doesn't matter anymore what your console is, that the Microsofts and Nintendos and the Sonys of the world, they stop making their proprietary hardware and they just basically sell you services, which if the next Xbox really is on x86 architecture, that's we're one step away from that now, where the machines are just PCs branded with Microsoft or Sony labels, and it's just the software it runs out. It's the real difference.
That's what I was getting at earlier, though. Like, Nintendo has always done their own thing, and I kind of like the thing Nintendo does. So, like, they totally screwed up when it came to getting third parties, but at the same time, if Nintendo had released a box that was the same as the PlayStation 4 and whatever the new Xbox is called, I don't think it held as much interest for me.
Couldn't Nintendo still have released the gamepad with an x86 architecture in the actual console? I don't think there would have been anything to stop them.
It would have been their cost would have been a bit prohibitive because they
right.
think it's the most expensive thing to make in that system. So I think they would have had to change their philosophy and sold at a loss in order to be competitive.
Right, which they probably wouldn't have done.
I'm wondering if E3 is going to be the announcement of a Nintendo price drop as well.
Oh, you think so? Well, Nintendo's not really going to have E3 announcements. You heard that, right?
Yeah, but they're going to have directs around that time, and they're going to try to do something to steal the thunder from the new consoles. And a price drop and the announcement of a number of really good games, that could be something to, you know, minimize the damage.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from this year's E3, honestly. You know, I've wanted to go for years and just haven't been able to. I'm sure we can get in. I just don't know if I have the time to go. This would be the one to go to, though, I think.
I worry I'm getting old. Because I'm not excited about the new consoles. I'm really not. And I think it's just because the type of games they're going to show are not the type of games I play. Maybe they're a little more the type of games you play. You play things like Halo and stuff.
Yeah, but Halo 4 came out and I really couldn't care that much.
I know, but like in general, you like first-person shooters and you like...
Yeah, I'll play them.
And I... So, like... And the way JRPGs have been going lately has been making me a bit sad, and yeah, so I don't know exactly, but you know what? If games stop for me, you know, if the type of games that I like aren't being made anymore, there are so many games I haven't played that I'm good.
You know, I've said multiple times that it's not really these big AAA $60+ titles that excite me for the current generation, if the Wii U is to be used as the benchmark there. I am buying a lot of littler titles, you know, on the eShop, like $15 or less, usually a lot less. And yeah. I'm playing those instead, like indie developers. You know, these companies that don't have to worry about the massive overhead that EA does.
Apparently, Nintendo's being very good to indies this generation.
They are. I was delving into this, you know, partly for professional interest, but you know, there's been a lot of talk about their support with Unity. I guess they made a deal. You can get Unity 4 Pro, and it comes with a Wii U dev kit.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, normally you have to get like a source control license for that, which is prohibitively expensive, but they want people to use the system as much as possible and really court any developers. There's also talk of like they used to require you have actually a physical office somewhere before they would let you have a developer license at all, and I guess they've loosened that restriction somewhat. And then there's Sony's throwing PS Vita dev kits at indie developers right now. So it's like that's where, maybe that's not where like the most of the money is, but that's where my interest lies now. So I'm really excited for what's going to come out of small studios and small games and downloadable eShop titles I don't have to spend $60 on, because I just don't have the time or the money, honestly.
Yeah, I think I'm with you that the triple A business model is not sustainable. Because the games are selling for the same price this generation as last generation. I don't know. They might bring it up with $10 or something.
Well, if they didn't insist on like the more power, the more everything, like more realistic graphics, it's like I don't care that much. It's a game. I don't need it to seem like it's real life.
What do you mean? I want to see sweat pouring from the pores of Mario.
There's only so many old man demos I will tolerate before I say enough is enough.
Man demo.
What's the need? Is there really demand for that? I don't buy it. I won't buy it. Literally.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, but I'm excited to see what's coming next for, did you watch the Nintendo Direct?
I saw pieces of it.
It wasn't I don't know. There was too much hand-holding in that video for me. Like, they were filling too much time with things that didn't need to be filled. Like, this is how you play Pikmin. Okay. Where's the other new titles, you know? But one thing that did come out of that was the announcement of a Wii-exclusive Sonic game.
Not just one, but three.
Is it three Sonic games, or is it three Sega games? I wasn't really clear on that.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Sonic.
It might be. And so Sonic and the Olympic Games, I mean, that was expected, though.
Right, right. So scuttlebutt is that the third one might be a Sonic All-Stars Racing versus Mario Kart.
That'd be cool. I thought that of the games that are trying to be Mario Kart, Sonic and All-Stars Racing got the closest.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Mario Kart is kind of the tightest experience, but Sonic and All-Stars Racers, and I love the fan service and all the old Sega characters, so, I mean, any game with Samba de Amigo in it and, you know, Dio from Shenmue and all that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that stuff, and it played well. It wasn't just a fan service game. It played well. So I'd like that. One announcement that has potential to make me happy or potential to make me sad was, I'm such a nerd. I was watching the Japanese and the American, one off my iPad and one off my computer. My wife walked in and she's like, "Oh, you nerd." You know? And then I'm using my iPhone to be checking message boards and stuff and commenting.
Right.
You ever see Serial Experiments Lane?
Uh-huh.
Felt like that.
Well, as long as you weren't putting your computer together in the nude, I think we're okay.
How much do you know? But the thing is, in the Japanese feed, they announced that they're doing the Yakuza 1 and 2 HD collection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a series that I've never really played too much. I played part of the first one, and I played the demo of the third one. But it's basically Grand Theft Auto in Japan.
Okay.
With, well, a lot of people say it's the evolution of Shenmue. You know, because it's another Sega game, and it's open world like that, and it has fighter mechanics kind of like, you know, Shenmue did. And there's all these little side things, and you know, it's Shenmue-y.
Well, that's good, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's a great series. I think it's really good. But here's the downside. There's no announcement of a Western release for this.
Oh.
And it's strange that they're porting 1 and 2 instead of the new game, which is about to release 5.
Okay.
Just released? I don't know. But, like, it seems like they made a big deal of it in this presentation. They talked about it for 15 whole minutes.
Wow.
But didn't that same collection, that same remake come out on PlayStation 3, like, 9 months ago and sell, like, not very well?
I have no idea.
So, I don't know. But you know what? If that got released in the West, I think that would be really cool. Yeah. So it's kind of like the third Sega game would be a Western release of the Yakuza series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if it's Sonic only, then...
But the thing is, everyone's making a big deal. They're like, wow, Nintendo and Sega, this is great. This is the new preferred partnership. This is, you know... But it's nothing, really. I mean... I think it'll be a good Sonic game. Sega does good stuff with Sonic.
Well, they've been getting better lately. Generations and was it Colors? I think people have been really enjoying.
But the thing is, like, we had three exclusive Sonic games: Sonic and the Secret Rings, Sonic Colors, and Sonic and the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is like a big deal. This is just a pattern, you know? People on message boards are going nuts about it. They're like, yeah, exclusive. Suck on that, any console other than Nintendo. And then I'm like, well, you know, it's... Yeah?
I guess in the face of all of this, Would it be fair to say that the Ubisoft stuff doesn't seem as bad?
Yeah, Ubisoft, since I know you're listening to this podcast, I apologize for the things I said in anger.
I don't. I'm still pissed.
Should have released Rayman when it was done, because maybe that would have spurred a couple sales early. But fun of you for releasing that demo, but apparently it's really good. Did you download it yet, Sean?
I haven't played the challenge app yet, but I've been talking to people who have been using it, and actually I've seen people play it. It's a really interesting idea. It's free, right? So that's one thing. It's unlimited play, and they're releasing like new stuff all the time for it right up until the game comes out. And like this, if other companies copy it, could be a really good paradigm for how to get people to play your games.
Yeah. We got to see if it pans out into sales, though. I mean,
Well, you know, if they're going up against which blockbusters again this fall? I don't even remember. Like they are really going to make it hard.
What else?
What was the first one?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Right.
Although different demographic, I think there, but you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out in that.
Right.
Time. But I don't know. Still looks like a good game. It's something I'll probably pick up because it doesn't make sense to boycott, because the original designers who made the game, it's not their fault.
Well, no, and I think that they realized because of the backlash that they need to do something like this, and it's keeping the developers busy, so they're not just like sitting on their hands waiting for this game to come out.
But I mean, Ubisoft needs a hit. If this really well, like way better than on the other platforms, you know, they'll be motivated to continue to support this platform.
Yeah. Well, they've made it really hard for themselves to succeed, given
right now Ubisoft is like Nintendo's best friend.
I know, and it's like that friend who really wants to hang out with the cool kids, but you know, they're nice enough to like not totally ditch their not as cool friends right away. Or something.
What's amazing is I think Ubisoft is the only company that's really doing multi-platform, you know?
Right.
So there was one famous YouTube video, but I don't remember what the title of the video was called. But just listing off all the titles that were releasing for everything but Nintendo.
Oh, yep. I did see that one. I'll have to try and find...
That guy's got an awesome voice.
Right.
But... and it was just list after list of everything. But for Ubisoft, all their big main franchises that they're going to be releasing this year are also hitting the Wii U. Right. You know, Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs... what am I thinking? Splinter Cell. Yeah. You know, the coming out. And if Activision keeps the Call of Duties coming, and the Heroes Duty, it's a big duty.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to forget that EA doesn't make all the huge blockbuster games, that these other companies are still supporting the Wii U. Like, I'm pretty sure that the Wii U is getting that Arkham Origins game, isn't it?
What? What game?
The Arkham Origins Batman game.
Warner Bros. Is very good with Wii U.
Have I don't think we've talked since I got Injustice.
Oh, how is it?
It's a wonder. It's great. It plays very well. There's a gamepad play, TV play like right off the bat, you can actually switch it so that you have your move list on your gamepad right there, which is a little superfluous actually, because you're not gonna like not pause the action and look at it, and when you pause the screen, it goes right to the move list anyway. So,
because I saw it in a DC Heroes Fighter.
No, it's made by the team that made the new Mortal Kombat game, which is also fantastic. But this has more depth, I feel, than the Mortal Kombat game does. And you know, I'm the guy who's like really really in love with Soul Calibur, and it's more of a 3D fighter, and it's with weapons and stuff. So there's like lots of stuff, like the Joker uses his gun, so there's like a lot of weapons, and it's not just hand to hand brawling. And it's surprisingly deep as a fighter. So I think it's accessible like Soul Calibur too, in the way that you can just understand the basics of how each kind of character does its moves and be able to succeed pretty well in a match.
I'm sensing a butt coming.
But on the Wii U, there have been a few hiccups.
Okay.
So I bought the game. There was a Toys R Us sale for like $35. You can get it. The Toys R Us's around me were all sold out on every platform. So fortunately, like companies like Best Buy do a price match, and it was online as well, and I was able to get it from Best Buy. But I had a choice to make. I could get it for $360, support the last gen console, and then maybe have the multiplayer shut off in like 5 years or something. Or I could support the next gen console, get all the DLC for that. And I wouldn't have any friends to play with necessarily, because I don't know how many people own Wii U's and would own this game. Phil Bond bought it for his PS3, so I wouldn't be able to play with him anyway. Zach Shipley got it for his 360, so that would have been only one person I would have known of. But, you know, it says in the back of the box, DLC compatible or whatever, you know, is coming for the console. And they didn't announce anything for the Wii U yet, but it's like, well, it's got to be coming, right?
Okay.
So the first DLC came out, Lobo and like some skin packs and stuff. Not only was it not announced for the Wii U, there was nothing in the eShop that day, so it took a lot of like wrangling and uproar and whatnot, just a lot of no comment from WB Games until they finally announced, yes, we will be releasing DLC starting in the summer. No specific date, no specific packages, but it's coming. So I'm stuck without that compatibility for a while. So that's annoying, but yeah, we'll see if it's fully supported like the other consoles are. But there's two other big problems. Yep. Multiplayer.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Matchmaking. You can open a random match, but apparently the feature to host your own room does not exist in the Wii U version, so you can't play with your friends.
Hmm.
That's very, very bad. That's like we pushed this version out and didn't really plan to support it, but maybe we should know that people are upset about it, kind of thing. Like they it seems like they obviously focused on the new or the older consoles first and the Wii U last.
Hmm.
Really, really unfortunate, I think. The last thing, not a huge deal, I guess, is that there's a way to unlock costumes through an iPhone app that apparently isn't compatible with the Wii U version for no reason I can discern.
Nintendo's online structure.
That could be part of it, but I can't...
I don't know. I'm just happy to see games on the system these days.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic game. It's the kind of the game the system needs. But, you know, when you have companies like WB Games and Ubisoft, you know, pulling this kind of thing, it's like, well, we want to release the game on the console, but we don't want to put too much effort into it.
Yeah, I know. But, okay. Loaded, tricky question.
Okay.
Does Nintendo need third parties?
They survived so long without a lot of major third-party support already. Like, even in the Wii days. I don't...
Let me change that back. Does it need the third-party support in the traditional sense? Like, some of Nintendo's strongest and my favorite games have been, you know, third-party games, but they are really kind of, like, special deals with Nintendo, you know, like right. Exclusive stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the Capcom 5. Okay, that's a bad example.
It's a really bad example. Why would you even bring that up?
Because I'm a masochist. But let me think of a better one. Metroid Other M? It's a bad example, too.
Alright, so Rock Band. Rock Band on the Wii. The way that console was set up was not conducive to how that whole thing worked with DLC. Like the Guitar Hero model of things was they would release actual physical discs of additional songs. You can download them anywhere. You just play them off the disc, and you'd be fine. But you know, with the new generation, with Rock Band especially, that changed the entire paradigm. It's worth noting too that Rock Band's released its final DLC, which they finally included a Toto song. Ah, thank God. Anyway, but they, you know, Nintendo changed how the Wii works so that games like Rock Band could have like hot swappable DLC, more or less, that just did not exist before. That you would be able to play stuff from your SD card as opposed to having loaded into the Wii U system memory manually. And eventually, what did they eventually add USB's drive support to the Wii, or was that just for the Wii U?
I think it might have just been the Wii U.
Okay,
I don't remember anymore because, like, I know Hack was able to do it, right. But I don't know if it's ever an official thing. But they did allow you to hook up an SD card that was like up to like 32 gigabytes. So yeah. I mean, that's essentially throwing a drive on there, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, that's about as big as the original Xbox hard drives were. So
no, hard drives are like 4 gigs.
No, they were 20.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, oh. I meant the 360.
360. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So they even the playing field there. They did something that a third party wanted. In this case, well, I guess it was EA. But. Yeah, so it's not like Nintendo doesn't care. It's just like, what are the, you know, what won't they do if that's even if it's their intransigence that's the problem? Like, what won't they do? And so they do what they can to court the third parties, but I don't think that they needed. I guess missing Rock Band would have really been terrible, in the sense that there wouldn't have been much else for third parties.
Yeah.
But no one's doing Rock Band anymore, so it's.
Well, yeah, it's a dead franchise now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's, I don't know, on hiatus or something.
No, I don't think that's gonna. I don't think that's gonna happen again. I mean, I believe that the partnership between Harmonix and EA and whoever else is dissolved now. So,
games with plastic instruments, is that done?
For now.
For now. I mean. I don't know. Dance Dance Revolution's been done in Japan for 10 years now, so.
Well, yeah, there's other dance games.
Yeah, but in Japan, it's done. Like, the phenomenon is done.
Right. For now.
Which is strange, because it's still going on in the States.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Nintendo can survive without EA. And I don't know if they can have no third parties, but they're not in that position right now.
But the thing is, what Nintendo's doing right now, they're getting exclusive games. Wonderful 101 from Platinum Games, Bayonetta 2 from Platinum Games. They're dealing with Atlus to get a Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem game. Stuff like that. I mean, if they can keep getting, you know, nice games, exclusive for the system, that's one thing, like... Yeah, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 get everything, but they pretty much mostly get the same games. Like, what was exclusive released like this year for the Xbox 360? Halo, yes.
Well, yeah, because it's a Microsoft Studios franchise.
This year.
Well, Halo was last year.
Okay, so 2013, from the beginning, only on Xbox.
Man, they're releasing a new console this year. It's really hardly fair to.
Oh, okay. Let's do 2012.
Yep.
Okay, we got your Halo.
Uh-huh. And are we talking third party exclusive deals though?
No, just the console in general.
I don't know. I didn't really buy any games for it last year.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly
the
not Halo. Well, you know, Mass Effect 3.
But that. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is pretty much every big game, there's no like AAA exclusives, you know, other than like Halo, and Sony has more. They've got God of War, they've got Gran Turismo.
Well, I mean, this isn't an apples to apples comparison though. Like, you can't really compare first parties to first parties.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do, though. Because Nintendo's basically its first party now. Third parties have... The support is drying up.
Well, didn't you just list off a whole bunch of games that they're, like, doing with other developers, at least, even if it's not other publishers?
But, like, the games that are really multi-platform are skipping Nintendo. And so Nintendo's basically getting these exclusive licensing things. So I have a question. If Nintendo's first party plus these exclusive deals, is that... If the Grand Theft Autos and the Call of Duties and all that stuff skips Nintendo, can they survive?
Nintendo's never had... Well, before now, Call of Duty, and never had Grand Theft Auto. Of course they can survive.
Nintendo has had Call of Duty since GameCube.
Really? What am I thinking of? I don't know. Well, certainly not Grand Theft Auto.
No, other than Chinatown Wars.
I don't even know what that is.
Grand Theft Auto game.
All right. What was that released for?
DS.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Yeah, but... I mean, even Dreamcast had Grand Theft Auto.
Yep, and look how well they turned out.
Well, it was Grand Theft Auto 2, though. That was... It didn't really... The series didn't really explode till 3, so...
So I don't know. I guess it's bad. This EA spat is public and it's bad. I think it's actually worse for EA. Not that it'll have any lasting damage, I don't think, but it just seems really petty and arbitrary.
You know, the game industry in general doesn't seem very professional a lot of the time. And I think Twitter's bad for game industry professionals.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
They should not be allowed to use it.
Pretty much.
Have your own opinion, but sometimes if you're high up in a company, you can't just make a post that says Nintendo is crap.
Right.
What was that comment years ago by the guy from Grin who just went, the Wii is two GameCubes duct taped together?
Well, like you know, stuff like that enters our consciousness and our lexicon, but I don't think it really affects anything.
I think so, too. I mean, the people who are affected by it are people who've already made their decisions previously.
Yeah, it's
so.
Like, oh, I guess you're right. I'm going to throw my Wii off a balcony now. No, the reason I stopped playing my Wii was because they didn't stop making games I wanted to play for it. Plain and simple. So, no, you know, I take that back. Sorry. I started playing Other M again. Like, I have this backlog of Wii games I really want to go through. It's a really... gorgeous system with a lot of wonderful games for it. I bought brand new from the Wii Shop, the Bit Trip Runner, because the sequel is coming out for Wii U, among other things. And it's just it's a really great system. It's just mine in particular had that graphic problem, and yeah, I don't know. I feel like for my Wii U now that I feel about it the way I should have felt for my Wii plus some more. And if that's the case, I'll be perfectly happy with it for at least 2 years.
Well, that's good. That's good. But if you're not really going to use the online stuff, you should have got a Wii Mini.
Oh, God. Well.
I'm so worried that's going to be Nintendo's big announcement around the time of E3. I know they're not doing a conference.
They're shutting down the internet services for the Wii in June anyway. So that explains that little bit of confusion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure the 7 people who still use it are going to be really upset.
I would try, but like no one I know uses their Wii anymore, and so I can't exchange friend codes with nobody who ever goes online.
So, wow, that was a dumb podcast.
Man, I don't know. It's like this we're in this weird position right now where we need to talk about the Xbox, but, you know, we haven't heard the announcement yet, so I don't know when this episode's going to come out. But, yeah. I think things are going to be fine. I think there's like a lot of noise happening right now, but it's a lot of sound and fury.
I guess, but I mean, where do you think at the end of this generation Wii U is going to wind up? More than a GameCube? Less than a GameCube?
Oh, just compared to Nintendo's consoles, more than a GameCube.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely going to be less than a Wii.
Yeah, right. But everyone's been less. Literally, everyone's less than a Wii for the last generation. So it's okay.
Who's going to go on, be on top? Is it going to be Microsoft, Nintendo, or Sony?
I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, especially if they have the same architecture, that this is just going to be the penultimate step before the gaming singularity. Like, I really think after this generation that the platform is not going to matter anymore.
I think Nintendo's going to try to make it last one more generation.
Oh, I think they're going to try.
I very much worry that the Vita and 3DS are already the end of the road for handhelds.
So what gives me hope, I guess, that Nintendo can make a transition into staying competitive in both the handheld and the console space, assuming there is a console space. Is what Microsoft's doing now. Like, Microsoft's been a software company forever and ever and ever, and they've left, like, totally vertical hardware and software stuff to Apple. But, you know, with Apple with so much cash, it's like the real margins are in hardware and not software now. And I've been listening to a lot of This Week in Tech, if you can't tell, lots of old backlogs, which I mentioned this on the No Topic Required podcast, which came out last week, or 2 weeks ago, depending on when this one comes out. So I should link to that one too. But I've listened to a lot of that show, and Microsoft's doing this thing where they're trying to go into the hardware space. They never made their own PCs before, but now you have the Surface tablet.
Yeah.
And that's a big step for them. And if you listen to these tech pundits, it's like a necessary one if they're going to survive as a company. And I think they're absolutely right. You know, they have the Windows phones now too. Like, there's this shift towards, I mean, in this case, the hardware is still different for iPhones and Windows phones and Android phones. But what they're really selling is their own like shops, their own online shops. They're selling their services. They're selling an integrated experience. And, you know, game console makers have been selling that integrated experience, especially Nintendo's case, where they rely mostly on their first party sales forever. So they're in the best position right now. Nintendo is to transition, to whatever happens for the next console phase of things. If Microsoft and Sony converge into like one sort of hardware platform.
I suppose. But the thing is, like, if there really is something like that, I can see third parties doing much better than our established console leaders, you know.
We'll see what Microsoft has for the Xbox, but maybe I should just release this podcast now, like, and just call it like last week's. Release it on like Monday or Tuesday, and we'll do another one really on his heels. But
otherwise, we're gonna sound foolish.
Yeah, we're gonna sound foolish, but like the big thing that's gonna differentiate Microsoft is the next Kinect, you know, from like Sony.
The PlayStation 4, do you think they're going to pack in the Move controller? Do you think it's going to be a pack-in, or do you think it's going to be separate like it was with the PlayStation 3?
Did they say at all during their... I don't think they did. They didn't announce price points. They didn't announce the consoles, bundles, anything. Yeah, it's possible. If Microsoft pushed really, really hard to get Kinects in everyone's houses, like when they had their console refresh, the only way for months to get that was with a Kinect, if you also wanted like a hard drive of any size. I did what I could to possibly avoid that because I didn't want to spend the money for a Kinect. But if they go in a whole hog on that thing, that's like their gamepad, essentially. Like, that's their market differentiator as far as the hardware side of things. And like you said, Sony has the camera and it has Move.
Yep.
I think if they don't launch that way, they're going to be pushed towards going that way later in the generation.
Maybe. I see it as an eventual pack-in. I don't know if it's going to be packed in with the first units, just because the cost is going to be so high to begin.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Go down, they'll. But I know they have moved forward because they did a demo of it during their presser. Who was doing it? Like Media Molecule was doing something with it. But I just don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to wind up doing in the end. It's going to be an interesting generation.
Definitely.
So I'm excited to see what Nintendo does to counter the hype.
Yeah.
Nintendo might just sit it out and go, you know, cut their losses and go, we're going to focus everything on Christmas, you know.
Right, right. Well, I just keep thinking about the gamepad and how I've been enjoying the Wii U since November, and it really has changed my relationship with my television. Like, not just gaming, but my TV. And I feel like if they were smart enough to, like, push games for their platform towards the gamepad, like, if they make more utilization of the hardware that's there, like the camera on the gamepad, because you should be able to do Wii-based motion play with just the gamepad, but no one's really utilized it yet. Like, if they focus more on unique game experiences than they are right now, because I don't feel like... This is why I don't feel like they have to focus so much on third-party, multi-plat, like, pro-controller-based stuff, is that there's just so much unexplored space right now. And I feel like Microsoft and Sony are hedging their bets with their peripheral stuff. Yeah, all right, that's where I'm landing right now, is I don't think Nintendo needs EA and their 20th century model of gaming.
And you know what? Okay, from my perspective... I'm not going to miss EA. And if Activision left too, I wouldn't miss them.
Okay.
I think for the market, if Nintendo is going to try to go on their own, they need to increase their software design teams, and they're going to need to hit areas that they don't currently develop for.
Yes.
Games... some more mature titles, you know. Yeah, looks like Silicon Knights is trying to make a the fragments of Silicon Knights is trying to make a sequel to Eternal Darkness.
I don't even want to talk about that. It just pisses me off so much, that whole thing.
Let's save that for now.
All right. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I'll talk about that. So they did a non-Kickstarter crowdfunding thing where they made a website that was a lot like the Kickstarter. They raised like $150,000 out of like a $1.5 million asking price. Let me go to their actual Kickstarter page right now. And then that started losing steam, and they took that $150,000 off of what ended up being like a $1,350,000 Kickstarter campaign to sort of reinvigorate the project. And, oh man, was Shadow of the Eternals, it's called? Shadow of the Eternals. And I don't know where that's standing right now. There we go. Oh, no. So it's been 5 days since I looked at this thing. They are at $79,000 with 1,490 backers. Goodness. Yeah, it was at like maybe 3 or 4% last time I saw this. There's no chance they're meeting this.
No, and I mean they're doing. Okay, I threw them $5.
What's that?
I threw them $5. I put in $5.
Okay.
I just kind of follow the project, and I put that in like 5 days ago, and I think I've received like 10 Kickstarter updates, like constantly.
Oh, geez. They're up.
Really trying, but nobody's biting.
Well, there's a lot of nonsense going on. So there's, you know, like stories of like ex-Silicon Knights employees talking about what it's like to work for the president, whose name I don't want to try to pronounce. He himself called it like a benevolent dictatorship, which I'm sure he thinks is clever, but probably not so great for the actual employees. And then, you know, there was that whole thing where they tried to sue... who created the Unreal Engine?
Epic.
Epic, yeah, they tried to sue Epic, and then they were found actually to be in violation of their agreement with Epic and got countersued. And they shut down the studio to make this new one from its ashes so that they weren't liable anymore. And, you know, it's like they learned nothing. And I don't trust them to be able to make this game, because it sounds like they made it sound like they had all these assets for this new game when they actually apparently cannibalized a bunch of in-progress work that Silicon Knights was doing and said, oh, look at all the stuff we're working on. But it wasn't even them. It was the old company.
Well, okay.
I don't trust them at all.
I want there to be an eternal darkness, too.
I do, too.
I want competent people to make it. And the thing is, a lot of these people can probably make good games, but something tells me Nintendo's hand in guiding it was something that was really helping.
I wouldn't doubt that, especially because is Nintendo's Insanity Engine?
Yep, they own the patent.
Yeah, so there's a lot to be said about that too. And yeah, as for Silicon Knights itself, their success at making games lately has been just vastly, vastly diminishing. So I don't think they can do it.
But I want someone to do it. You've played Eternal Darkness, right?
Well, it is one of my favorite games of all time, and definitely one of my favorite of the GameCube generation, especially for being like a first generation game. It holds up so well.
Really early. It was really early.
2002, yeah.
Oh, what a great game. But it was a flop. It was a total flop.
I know. It's really too bad because it's one of the best games I've ever played ever.
Happy, new, shrink-wrapped, free love.
Wow.
That was only a year after it was out, so.
Wow.
I thought, wow, that's a pretty good deal. But I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Is it bad?
I mean, that's why you don't see Ubisoft really clamoring for a Beyond Good and Evil sequel.
Boo.
Yeah. Maybe Wii exclusive. Let's find out. All right. So I think we should hear what the listeners have to say. So yeah, I'm going to try and get this at least the day that the Xbox announcement happens so we can get some traction and get some speculation going about what we're going to see.
All right. Well, I'm interested very much to hear what our users have to say about this. Users? They're not users. Listeners/readers/viewers. Yeah. So that's the question I pose. How important are third parties to Nintendo? And I guess you can answer one of the other ones that we've posed a lot of here. Is this the last console generation? You know.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to share, we love reading your comments. And we try to respond to pretty much all of them. So.
Yep. So you can leave those comments on our Facebook page, which is always growing and always hopping. We do post the podcast there pretty much as soon as it comes out. So yeah, be sure that you leave a comment there or on the podcast itself on FamicomDojo.tv. We always have some really, really good feedback there. And since it's linked to the Powet account, it's some of the most lively chatting we have on the Powet website at all. Which says something. I'm not sure what. But then you can also call us if you want to leave a 3-minute message, up to 3 minutes, that is, at 608-492-1923. Twitter, of course, not as hopping as Facebook, but it's still there. So Twitter at Famicom Dojo, Facebook Famicom Dojo. And I really recommend, if you guys want to share the love, make sure people hear the show, that you rate and comment on our free iTunes storefront, because the more of those we get, the more likely we are to get featured on iTunes, and then we get to have even more discussion going with a lot of more great minds,
I think. And of course, as always, if you like what you hear and you'd really like to support Famicom Dojo, we've got a season one DVD, and it's really the only product we're selling right now. And pick that up; they make great birthday gifts, like
coasters.
hipsters. But hipsters just take the DVDs and turn them into belt buckles or something.
Oh, so. Yeah. It'd be a pretty cool belt buckle. I like the design of the disc.
So buy one for your pants and one for Blair. Available on Amazon.com or directly from our website.
Yes. So speaking of which, we are not in the Zune marketplace because the Zune marketplace is no more. They're transforming this into Xbox Music. And I think they're only doing saleable items and like proprietary stuff. I think the podcasting thing with that is gone forever.
What?
Yeah.
We're starting to build up some steam on that.
Yeah.
We're also on, what are we on? Stitcher.
Yep, Stitcher Radio, so you can listen to us streaming there for free. Awesome.
Or you can come over to my house and just listen to me talk.
That's how this started, right?
That's how this started. So we went quite phenomenally over time, but...
Well, that's fine. We haven't released an episode in at least a week longer than we wanted to, so...
So, this we'll count this as an episode and a half, so...
Right on. Hey, you know, we're pretty close to extra special anniversary episodes. I think... Is this 75, or are we almost up to it? Oh, man. Time for a listener appreciation pretty soon, I think.
I think so.
Right on. Okay, well, until we find out what the heck this Xbox thing's about, the dojo is...
Hopefully optimistic.
Yes.
Famicom Dojo.